I cooked it for a amount of time. Oh, dang. But if the lemon bars don't turn out, beep, beep, we're getting lemon pound cake again. Beep,
beep. 40 hour week and I spend it on my head. Follow me like sheep till I cross some Cartoon Ever. Tripping over and you're stuck up on the grass, I can't handle it. Losing all my grasp, I can't answer it. I don't really know what's going on. She bet like photo bomb. She like cookies tag alone. She won't hold up on my hand. She gon' pause up on my song.
Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is King at Jeromney. He is Ski at TSB Ski on Twitter. Tweet at us if you want us to watch your movies. That's how we get our suggestions. Also, mostly we get our suggestions from Discord. So Sports Brewery and Discord, get in there. We will ask you for movie suggestions in there, and then you can give them to us. Or if you know us, hey, send us a text or something and be like, hey, watch this movie, and then we'll shout you out or whatever. Just do it. Twitch.tv/abrog87 is where we do the sports podcast every Thursday. You can watch us live on there. Join the chat. If you missed those, you can find those on YouTube. So you can watch us on that if you want to watch us. Obviously, listen to podcasts wherever you get those things. What else? Am I missing something? I don't think I'm missing anything. The movie this week is your movie, listener. It comes from WCP541 in the Discord. By the way, I do that. I say the Discord. It's not the Discord. It's Discord. Discord. Where did I get that from?
That's I like putting the in front of it.
In the Discord. It's okay.
The Twitter, the Instagram,
kids with their
The face mash.
Yeah, totally. All right. All right. Movie comes from WCP. It is Street Kings. Came out in 2008. It is on Hulu currently. It has a 38% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.8 on IMDb, and a 55 on Metacritic. Movie stars Keanu Reeves as Detective Tom Ludlow, Forrest Whitaker as Captain Jack Wander, Hugh Laurie as Captain James Biggs,
it's
Chris
Lupus.
Evans.
What? It's always Lupus. That's a Hugh Laurie thing.
House.
There you go.
Yeah. I got it. Chris Evans, a young Chris Evans in this movie, plays Detective Paul Diskant. Called him Disco, I think, in the movie. Cedric the Entertainer in this movie plays Scribble. Jeannie Buss's husband plays Sergeant Mike Clady. That is Jay Moore, in case you didn't know.
Jay Moore.
Yep. Terry Crews, Detective Terrence Washington. Common in this movie. His character is named Coates in the credits, but he was not actually Coates. If you watch the movie, Coates, he was a guy he killed. But that's just, The Game, also in this movie, he played a character named Grill. Course he did. Martha Higande played Grace, who was Keanu Reeves's girlfriend in the movie.
Can we just say that Jay Moore is on the Mount Rushmore of wives?
Oh,
Nicole
for his
Chamberlain, Nikki Cox, and currently Jeannie Buss.
He's got a lot, like Jay Moore and David Spade, right?
Yes.
Like, how? Wow.
Ow. Well, millions of dollars helps.
Yeah,
but
that'll help. But if
Jeannie Buss doesn't need money. Like, Jeannie Buss doesn't give a fuck about money. Like, she's good. Like, it's charisma. Like, those two dudes ooze charisma. If they didn't have any of that, they wouldn't get anybody. Because physically, they're like David Spade's like 5'1", man. Like, come on now. Good for them, though. Yeah, no.
No, because Nikki Cox in the 90s was like the perennial hot chick.
She was in that movie or the series with the dad who went in the attic and talked to like a sock rabbit, right?
Yes. Unhappily Ever After, I believe the name of the show was.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Was it a sock rabbit? What was it?
I mean,
was it a puppet?
It was a puppet, yeah.
A puppet.
Unhappily Ever After. And she was in Run, Ronnie, Run.
Yeah, she did not pan out for kind of
she did what not.
Like magazines especially were pushing her as like the elite hot level chick.
She sort of disappeared. All right, this movie written by some heavy hitters.
So if on paper, this should be an absolute banger of a movie.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Jay Moore and Nikki Cox. Yeah, man.
Yep.
No, you're absolutely right. On paper, you look at the cast of this movie, the people who wrote it, the director of this movie, this should be a fucking banger. So James Ellroy was one of the writers. He also wrote L.A. Confidential and Black Dahlia. Those are pretty big ones. Kurt Wimmer, who
one of my
remember,
favorite actually, is Kurt Wimmer.
We talked about him before because he wrote Equilibrium, which we watched for this podcast. Also wrote the new Point Break and the new Total Recall.
Boo and boo. Well,
wait. Hold up before you say that. He wrote Expendables 4.
Oh, redemption.
You lost redemption. Me and then you brought
me back.
He is risen. Right after Easter, man. Kurt Wimmer. He's the guy. Also, Jamie Moss, who wrote the Ghost in the Shell movie and a movie called Hunter Killer. So, I mean, I guess James Ellroy is really the big guy here. But if L.A. Confidential, by the way, that is a fucking great
movie. Well, so you kind of have to. So when you see James Ellroy, you're like, all right, this must have been a fantastic original script that he wrote, right? Well, I think it was just the story. I don't know if he actually wrote like an actual full script. But he wrote this. And then this passed between, I believe it was, let's see, I wrote him down. Three different directors instantly tried to jump on it. Here's the list of the three directors. Spike Lee, David Fincher, Oliver Stone.
Those three,
they wanted to do this movie from his original story. And then it somehow, you know, things fall through. And then other writers, like I said, the other writer guys get a hold of this, Wimmer and, I can't remember the other guy's name.
Moss.
Yeah. And I don't know, and Ellroy has completely distanced himself from this movie once they started fucking with the script.
Makes sense. And then the movie lands in the directing chair of David Ayer, who you will might remember directed the bad Suicide Squad movie. But also did the movies Fury, which is the tank movie. That's the tank movie with Brad Pitt, Fury. That's a great
movie. Which is a good movie.
It's a great movie. And he did The Beekeeper, which is that new Statham movie, which is apparently really good. I haven't seen it yet, but everybody has said it's amazing. And it made a ton of money.
I believe this was either the first or the second movie Ayer ever did. So this is very early career action movie.
After End of Watch, which I think End of Watch was a big movie too, right? Like, I don't know. Yeah, but so Ayer's made a couple of bangers in his career. Also made some movies that people really hated. So,
by the way, I'm looking up Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
Overrated.
Give me his movies. Let's go. Let's run them.
I guess. I mean, for the pantheon that they put him into with, you know, Scorsese and them.
I mean,
I see people say
Scarface.
Is Wall Street good? I don't
Scarface,
like it.
Scarface. Wall Street. Blue Steel.
Did he do the
JFK?
Football? Did he do the football movie too?
Natural Born Killers.
Any Given Sunday? Didn't he do that?
Or was that? Boy, was that De Palma? Or was that? It was Oliver Stone. Yeah, he was Any Given Sunday.
I thought so.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
I think he did.
I don't know, man. This guy stinks. His last memorable movie was W.
I agree.
I'm trying to
remember
what
he was doing in 2008 was making a Josh Brolin movie about George.
All right, that's the one. All right, that's the one. Yeah.
I agree.
This guy stinks.
Never been a huge fan.
Yeah,
I agree.
Terrible.
Scarface, overrated.
People vs. Larry Flint, though. Good movie.
Woody.
Yeah.
Killer. He did Natural Born Killers?
Yeah, he did.
That's a big
Can't
one.
Hate on that.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, so like going back, I mean, clearly these directors are like, oh, James Ellroy write something, I got to be involved in this, right? I mean, because, I mean, L.A. Confidential was a huge movie. I believe Black Dahlia was after this movie, though, but still.
Big movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know that Brian De Palma did that movie, so I'm surprised. He must have had, like, some creative input on who can direct and or finish the screenplay for that movie.
Budget for this movie, $20 million. Box office, $66.5 million. So tripled its money.
Yep.
It had huge people in it. There is no arguing that. Speaking of that, so Keanu Reeves in this movie plays a cop. Lots of shooting, lots of action for Keanu. The question I have, is he the most proficient gun person in the history of movies?
It's him or Statham.
I think it's him.
Maybe John Wayne, if we're going way back.
Did John?
Those guys shot back in the day.
How many guns was John Wayne actually shooting? Most of it's just him bullshitting in a bar or something.
Fair
with
enough.
Some broad, right? Like,
well, I mean, you know, you shoot 1.3, you're 100%.
Yeah.
You know,
you
not a volume shooter.
You ever actually watch a John Wayne movie?
Yeah,
No, I haven't.
I have. It's just the era. I mean, all those movies are very all those because they're all westerns, more or less.
I mean, so like we've all seen the videos of Keanu Reeves like training for John Wick and how good he actually is.
So,
by the way, the John Wick character kills hundreds of people every movie. There are arguments. I've watched that movie and been told that John Wick is actually a bad guy in that movie because of all of the people he kills and all of the people that are dead just because his dog was killed by one dude.
Like, a lot of collateral damage.
Lot of collateral damage for John Wick. Might actually be a bad guy. We feel bad for him because his dog died, and we all like revenge movies, but...
He's what we call in the business the anti-hero.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a Taylor Swift song?
I like that.
But yeah. I think this movie led him to go to, as you say, the best shooter in movies in because of this movie. Because this movie, I could say it early, not great. Not a great movie.
Fine.
It's fine. Fine. Not great.
I think it was fine. Yeah.
I don't know. This movie had a weird pacing to me.
The pacing.
Like everyone seemed to want to just like spit out their lines so fast, and it was just nonstop. There was no like breaks or lulls, you know, especially like, you know, you watch LA Confidential before this, and it's like, oh, you know, they set tones and, you know, get timing right. This was all like it was early in the movie where it was after he kills all those Korean guys who, I mean, I thought we're a little later, Korean guys dropping N-bombs already at the very beginning of this movie. And he goes and says a lot of very racist things about Asians. Yep. Interesting.
Did he offer them crack?
He did.
Was it crack?
Heroin maybe or something?
Yeah, it was heroin. No, he
did heroin.
It was heroin, yeah. Heroin and a really big, like a gun you put in a helicopter. Like a military helicopter.
That was a gun off a Huey back in Nam.
Yeah, that's a gun that like Arnold's carrying around. That kind of gun. That literally, he's the
it's
only person.
The predator.
Earth who could carry that gun is Arnold because he tries to take it out of the car and couldn't. Like
Body Ventura could pull that gun off too.
The body.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah.
No, but so that scene after he kills all those Korean guys. And they're at like the bar after it. The speed at which they are all just talking, and like almost to the point of talking over each other with their lines, completely like threw me off right away in this movie. I'm just like, oh, this movie is put together weird.
What is your hurry? Totally.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah. There were a couple things. There was that, and then the non-stop dramatic music. Like there was dramatic music playing every single scene in this movie. Like, it never, it was relentless, never took a break from that. So like, as a viewer of a movie, I like think the idea of that is to always keep you in suspense. Like, you're all, that's fucking exhausting. And we're not used to that. And fucking don't do it ever again. Like, whoever makes movies, never do that. It's terrible. And it's not enjoyable to watch your movie when you do that. It's like, because it is a suspenseful movie, but I don't need the music to be going the whole fucking time. Like, mix it up a little bit. So,
but like I said, it's suspenseful an exorbitant amount of time in this movie too. It's like I said, there's no like pauses to, like, you know, like I said, catch your breath before, you know, the next big thing happens.
I mean,
but it almost
this,
like
in this economy, are you guys trying to put Hans Zimmer out of business? Like, what's going on?
I don't think this was Hans. I'm not 100% sure, Hans. But I don't feel like it was Hans.
I'm Googling it.
Google it. But it was a, I mean, this movie's only like an hour and 40 minutes.
It was
I got an hour and 40. I'm just going to shove everything possible into this hour and 40 minutes. And so when it should be, you know, 220 maybe, if you're really making this movie to be good.
Please, God, no. Not well, 220.
I mean, I'm trying to remember, like, LA Confidential was like 220, 2.5. I think Black Dahlia was long too. It's just kind of how the writing goes.
I'm getting this. I'll tell you where I got this information from after. So Graham Revel is the composer for this movie. Musical director and conductor is Jan Chelopecki. I got this information from the Library of Congress website.
What?
Yep. Google it.
He's a fucking co-op.
I Googled Street Kings conductor, and that's the first site that came up.
They might have gotten sued for how much suspenseful music they used.
Yeah. I'll sue them for emotional distress.
Yeah.
Movie's not worth it.
No, it is not.
So Keanu also sort of an anti-hero in this one, right? He's clearly an alcoholic. Like, drinking and driving. Like, he went to the store and bought like those little vodka bottles and would just
airplane bottles. Yeah.
Kill him while driving, like while going to a crime. Like, before he went and shot up all of those Koreans, he knocked a couple back and on the drive there. So, you know, also, you know, worked with Forrest Whitaker and the other corrupt cops for years doing a bunch of illegal stuff. And I mean, the first thing he did, that is like entrapment, I think, like offering heroin to somebody, that is against the law as a police officer to do that.
Are you saying someone that offered, you know, did entrapment was a co-op?
A fucking co-op.
Who knew they did that?
Exactly, right?
And I don't know if Keanu had the warrant to put a tracker on his car also.
Yep.
No, you're a co-op.
No, you're a fucking co-op. Yeah. Why do you fucking know?
Badge and gun.
This fucking guy.
I mean, this was 2008. I guess you didn't need like no-knock warrants, did you? You could just go in and kick in doors and start blasting.
It was FISA still.
Yeah, it was
FISA's thing.
Yeah. He did. And by the way, setting up the crime scene to so he could lie to the internal affairs people. He was a bad guy for 75% of this movie and then flipped on a dime. Why? Because Washington died, right? That was it? Was that like his thing? I guess,
because I remember the wife kind of telling him like, oh, he said you were the worst cop because you saw it all, but like you were blind to it, kind of something like that. I can't remember exactly what she said, but I guess that's when he started kind of turning, trying to be good, I guess.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because it seemed like his whole career he had been in on it with Forrest Whitaker and the other cops. Like, he knew exactly what was going on. He was the one perpetrating all that shit. And then all of a sudden, the last half of the movie, it's like he suddenly, like he had amnesia. And he forgot all of the illegal shit that he did with Forrest Whitaker over like a decade of working with him or whatever. So that I just, that was weird.
Leave it to a white cop to just lay all that shit on a black guy. Weird.
Yeah.
Have we ever seen that happen before or after?
Yep. And he killed him in the end too, right?
Yeah, I mean, like just, wow.
There goes the evidence.
There's like, there a goes, twist. Yeah.
Yep.
LAPD cop shooting a black man.
Oh man.
Shocker there.
Yeah. By the way, Terry Crews, Forrest Whitaker, the two cops that end up dying.
Interesting. Can we talk about Terry Crews getting shot in that convenience store too?
Yeah.
It's an SNL skit of like what a comedic actor, how they would.
It was this Old Spice commercial. Like, yeah, where he's
shaking his.
Doing he's the pecs. Shaking his pecs. It was so bad.
Explosion! And it's like, I forgot the exact, I didn't write it down, but it was like, they only pulled, it was like 14 bullets out of him, and one of them was Keanu's. Like, that he got shot 50 times in that scene. Don't tell me he got shot 14 bullets like, hit him. I mean, 14 come on. They shot for
each, at least.
They shot him for 30 seconds straight. I mean, come on. That was. You can tell the level of this movie just from that scene, and that was pretty early on in this movie.
Terry Crews has never exactly mastered the art of acting, but in 2008, he definitely had not mastered the art of acting.
He was fresh off the football field.
Yes,
he was in 2008. Yep. Was that before or after White Chicks? That's the question I have for Terry Crews.
I think it was after.
Yeah, so he started like he got his chops with White Chicks and then elevated his game to Street Kings. No, it was totally
Chicks 2004.
There you go. Another, by the way, go back in our archive and listen to our podcast about White Chicks. We did watch that movie and talked about it. No, totally, though. Like it was who's the who's like the flamenco dancer, the Gucci Gucci. Who the fuck is that? You know what I'm talking about? Who is that person? That's what he was doing.
Well, we can't remember that guy's name, but he's Jim Carrey as the mask in that one scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need that scene dubbed over with her saying that. Fucking hilarious. I think the dirtiest quap out of all of them might have been Jay Moore.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. He was the one kind of pulling everything to like keep everyone out of trouble.
Stole evidence.
Yep.
He stole evidence like several times. And remember when Keanu like brought in the information about what was it? What are their names? Freeman and Coates or whatever. Yeah. He had like the information and he grabs it and goes and shreds them like immediately. Why do you have this? Grabs it and then shreds them.
Yeah.
Hiding money in a wall seems like a
that's a classic move.
I like it. Yeah, it reminded me of Sicario. Did you ever see that? Like the first scene in Sicario where she like is sort of exposed to the underbelly of what she's going to be dealing with. There's like bodies in the wall in that movie. It's by the way, that's a great movie.
There's some bodies in the wall.
I like the idea of extorting people for money and it being literal cash. Like, and you don't launder it. You don't like put it in an offshore account. You just like get cat and coins.
Yes.
Like big gold coins.
Oh, I want gold bars.
Gold bullion.
Yeah.
Or cougarants. I was like,
can you imagine doing a heist in 2024 and the guy's just like, I mean, I'm rich, but that shit's all in Bitcoin and Dogecoin.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Digital. I want my heist digital.
I want to touch it. I want to smell it. Like that Breaking Bad scene where that guy's just laying on the money. That's what I want to do. You can take your fucking bathing ape bullshit somewhere else. I want cold hard coins, baby.
Cold hard coins.
I want to jump in that shit like Scrooge McDuck, motherfucker.
I think that's what Forrest Whitaker's character was going for. Literal bags of gold coins hidden in his wall. It's like, how does that get made and put in a movie?
Ruin your wall.
See, at least at least like the cartels, you know, like Pablo Escobar, when they hid in the walls, it was paper currency. You know what? That's insulation right there. You know,
yeah, it is.
Saves on your heating bill.
Exactly.
Dual purpose.
Yeah.
Coins ain't gonna do shit in the wall for your insulation.
Convert it to cash. It's easy. Go to a coin machine. Like, what are you doing?
Go to a Safeway.
Go to Coinstar. Oh, look, Oregon Community Credit Union, right down the street. They got a big machine in there. Just take your bags of coins. They will give you cash.
And they take what, like 7%? Someone washing your money, they take like 30%.
This is 40%. What I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
Come on.
Jeez. Be a better form of criminal.
Hey, what'd you say?
Congratulations.
Work it in, baby.
You did it. What to
it's
say?
Done.
My favorite internet thing. Oh boy. Let's see. So Chris Evans. I thought like a young Chris Evans, I thought he was okay in this movie, actually. Like I enjoyed watching Chris. I liked what they did with his character too, because he was like the young detective who was put on the assignment of investigating Keanu. And then Keanu brought him in on everything that he was doing, and he was just sort of gung-ho to like do whatever. And he ended up undercovering, that's not a word, discovering that
uncovering
actually,
is the word.
Uncovering the guys that they were searching for were actually dead. And then, you know, he learned everything along with Keanu. I thought they were a good pair up. And like them and Cedric the Entertainer, I thought that was like a good trio for like 10 minutes of the movie.
I will say the very first and early interactions between Evans and Keanu was confusing. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? It took some time to be like, who's good, who's bad, like who's trying to do what kind of thing. Just, and it goes back to just because they were saying their lines so fast, I was just trying to decipher what was going on. It was just constantly hitting me.
And again, Keanu's, you couldn't figure out if he was a good or a bad guy. Because he kept trying to intimidate Chris Evans' character and like be a dick to him. And he would talk shit to all the other cops. He'd be like, I thought you were dead. Like, that's a shitty thing to say to somebody, by the way. Like, hey, Griffin, I thought you were dead because you're so fucking old. Like, what? Who says that? Like, don't be a dick. But again,
it was Harry, and that was his line from Speed. They worked that in there.
Was it same movie, same line from that? Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Harry, I thought you were dead. I believe it's the line. Yeah.
Again, you're an asshole if you say that to another human being. but again, he went from that to then all of a sudden, being this really good guy who only wants to honor his friend Washington and his wife and. Okay. All right. It worked out. I mean, the end of the movie was okay. Like it was fine. So.
Yeah. 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 I'll say it was fine.
I'm sort of middle of the road with this movie. I don't ever want to watch it again. But, you know, I'm glad I watched it, I guess.
Yeah.
It was good.
And I think people are with you there too. When you read off all the ratings for it, it was 33%, 50%, and it's kind of, yeah, I'm kind of right there with all the ratings, I guess.
It's the way I feel about it. Yep. All right. Are we to grading time yet? Not quite. But, we could start.
Yeah. I kind of want to. I wonder if he. You could go and read James Ellroy's original story to this. Because, like I said, the plot's all there. I mean, that's all he writes is L.A. detective murder fucking shit, but. I think it's all there to be a pretty good movie.
Yeah, no, Forrest Whitaker's character, apparently had dirt on everyone in the city, which is why he was like untouchable and why he was extorting them for money and stuff like that. So there is a really good story in here that you can see. It's just, it was executed really weird because maybe David Ayer is a bad director, you know, like
that's highly plausible here.
It's very possible. I mean, Fury is a rad movie. But his Suicide Squad movie sucked. You know, I don't know about Beekeeper. I haven't seen it yet, but you know, again, you said it, man, right off the top, the pacing of this movie was weird and made it weird to watch, but it could have been good. Like with the cast and, you know, I don't know. Close. It was close. I did make one note before we grade this. Noel Guglielmi. Do you know who that is?
Is that Tom Gugliotta's brother?
Gallagher brother?
He played the character named Quicks in this movie. He was the character
Is that the Mexican guy that got caught in the barbed wire?
It absolutely is.
A Mexican gangbanger in like 50 movies.
In every single thing he is in. I looked him up on IMDb. He has been in 207 things, which fucking A, my guy. That's awesome. By the way, some of it's like voice acting too, but like 207 things. And I was curious how many times he played Hector in those.
260. 60
it's,
times.
It's surprisingly less than that. Because he played he played a character named Hector in the Fast and the Furious movies too. So that's why I was thinking of it. I was like, this guy always plays the same character, always wears the same clothes, always. I guarantee you that's not his real accent. Always has the same accent. Like,
well, what'd you say his last name was again? Like Guglielmi.
Guglielmi. Yeah. Is he Italian?
I was gonna say, is this actually Italian?
We gotta Wikipedia this dude, like right?
Scarface,
now,
where everyone was actually just a Jewish person.
Say hello to my little friend.
Your name's Al Israel. Please stop.
No real Cubans were in that movie.
No.
Let's see. American actor. Known for his portrayal of Southern California gangsters. That is accurate. Let's see. He is of Italian and Mexican descent. Look at that.
All right.
Love it.
How many pairs of jorts do you think he owns from shows and movies he was in?
Yeah, does he take his costumes from movies, and why are they all jorts? And shirts that go to his knees.
Well, if you're gonna rock that, you know, California Vato look, he probably just wear the same thing for different sets. Bring it on Thursday.
Do they save money in the costume department? And there's, look, you're playing Hector again. Just bring the same clothes that you wore in Fast 7. Like it's great. Good.
I want to write a movie where he plays a fucking Italian person. Goddamn it.
Fucking A, right? Yes. Great.
You keep typecasting him as a fucking Fato. Let's get him fucking Italian in there. In one movie. Just one.
Give him one Italian movie.
Yeah.
He's got 207 things on his credits. Let's give 208 needs to be Italian. Okay. All right. Let's grade this thing. It is WCP 541's movie. What should we grade it out of?
I think 5 this week.
Okay, we'll do 5. Yeah, it had a 55 on Metacritic, so we'll do 5. That makes sense. It just makes sense. All right. Don't mess with a good number. Who wants to start?
Oh, I'll make it easy. I'm just going to go fucking straight down the middle with this and 2.5.
I've been told that we agree too much on this movie podcast. Like,
I'm giving it a 2.
I'm starting to notice that we do tend to agree on the movies. What we need is a Ski movie next week that is fucking terrible. So Ski, give us a terrible movie that you're going to give a 5, and then King and I will tell you how terrible it is.
So you want me to pick a gem then? All right. I'll find a gem.
Yeah. Yeah. Do a jam.
Uncle Jam. Uncle Jams. Uncle Jams. Uncle Jams.
Uncle Jams.
Uncle Jams. What if it happened to him, by the way?
All right, I'm splitting the difference and going 2.25.
Oh, come on, you pussy.
2.25, yep. This movie was fine. It was fine.
I liked the first half of it.
I did.
The second half.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised at the budget you said this.
20?
Yeah, I mean, I guess not that long ago. Kind of with that cast and stuff, you think it would...
Is Hugh Laurie more. The highest paid actor in this?
Yeah, because it's Lupus. It's never Lupus. Or always Lupus. I don't
it's
know.
Always seen, Lupus.
I haven't seen that in a while. It's always Lupus.
No, it's got to be Keanu. There's no way it's not Keanu. Come on. There's no way.
One would think.